Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 176, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Wake up, Miles, I think I got something to read to you. British coal gas is bad and it really isn't safe to use. I know you think I'm insane, but this study's stuck up in my brain. Oh, Miles, this can't fuel my stove anymore. That is courtesy of Official Dickhead. And y'all, if you want me to stop talking about the British coal gas study, you can't imply in your AKA that that study is about British coal gas being an unsafe fueling alternative for ovens. It is about second degree suicide. It is that if means you remove reduction. The means for someone killing themselves, a lot of suicide is second degree. It's heat of the moment. And if you take away the weapon they use, then they will not kill themselves in a lot of cases. That is what that... I'm just going to call it the British second degree suicide study. It's not just that a British coal gas turns out is stinky. Anyways, but thank you. Great AKA. Thank you, Abstrusel. I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, let me put the joint down in the PlayStation controller, because this is Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I am Miles Gray, a.k.a. Stony Hawk, a.k.a. Dab Burnquist, a.k.a. The Green Campbell, a.k.a. Rune Spliffberg, a.k.a. Chad Pufska, a.k.a. Jamie Chronix, a.k.a. Puffy Lassick, a.k.a. Jeff Brawley, a.k.a. Andrew Hand Rolls, and shout out, finally, Alyssa Steamroller. And that one comes from The Brew, you know, straight into my late 90s consciousness, early 2000s consciousness with that Tony Hawk's back on PlayStation, so.
Were those all, like, playable skaters on Tony Hawk?
Yeah. Chad Muska, I don't think, was in the second, or was, didn't come into the second or third one, but, like, you know, Bucky Lassick, Rune Glifberg, Bob Burnquist, Alyssa Steamer, they're all in the first one. They're OGs.
Shout out to all the listeners who sent us pictures of themselves pointing out that they are also lanky 6'2" Adam's apples who are easily mistakable for Tony Hawk.
Yeah. More than I thought there would be. But yeah man.
Spot on. That is a whole genre of white guy.
The Tony Hawk.
the Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented Maurice Cherry.
There he is.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. This is great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And on the day before my birthday, I have to say,
this is
I could not have thought of a better way to ring in the last day of my 30s. So thank you.
All right.
March 18th. All right.
Yeah.
Because today is St. Patrick's Day.
What are we doing today? The official pre-birthday turn up.
Exactly. Wait, so Maurice, what was that like for you? Because we spoke to you, I think, in the summer, late or fall-ish. And before the pandemic, so that means, did your birthday last year get completely upended by pandemic?
Absolutely.
So you're going, do you think you can carve out a slight thing, a safety backyard thing this year? What's your prospects?
I'm just going to have to delay it. At one point in time, I said, I'm just going to turn 39 again. I'll just be 39 plus one or whatever. But now that vaccines are coming out and it looks like I want to say social restrictions have been relaxed, but I live in Atlanta where everyone has pretty much come to play since we've only had 3 weeks of lockdown. I don't know yet. I'm going to plan something out probably later in the year once the vaccines are more out there to people and the immunity is greater. But right now I can wait.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that mugginess that is usually not so pleasant turns out is saving lives in the southeast of the United States. We'll actually talk about that in a little bit.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, muggy humidity is good for basically if the air is drenched, then the droplets drop down.
Air breaks fall. On the droplets.
Exactly.
Yeah. And pollen is already crazy in Atlanta. Right. So someone will sneeze and you really don't know, is it COVID?
Right.
Could be both. Yeah. Could be neither. You don't know.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, like my sneeze from 2 weeks ago is still just hanging out outside my house because the air out here is so dry. All right. Well, Maurice, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We are going to take a look back at something I had forgotten about. I had assumed it was befucked, but the Kavanaugh FBI investigation from all those decades ago during the Kavanaugh hearing. We'll talk about that because we're starting to take a look at it, and it looks like it wasn't fully on the up and up, shockingly. We'll talk about a possible change of venue for the Chauvin trial, fucking whatever that guy's name is, the murderer cop trial. We'll talk about how bored Tucker Carlson is and I want to talk about the John Oliver thing about him being a white supremacist. And then we'll talk about California versus Florida, the aforementioned, comparison between the two that a lot of anti-maskers are like, yo, Florida won because they only had 11% more people die than California on a per capita basis. They're really spiking the football on that shit, which is weird. But because they kind of kept things open, they're like, see, this is fine. We did it better. We're going to talk about some mitigating factors in that comparison. We'll talk about the doting mother update. We have a couple...
Dedicated
mothers
moms.
Who really went in. All of that, plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Maurice, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are? Or where you are?
In terms of right now, the main thing I've been searching for is Atlanta COVID vaccine availability. They've just opened it up to larger groups here. In Atlanta, which is great. That means I now qualify. Shout out to Team Chunk. So I qualify now to get the vaccine, which is great. Finding a time and a place to get it is proving to be very difficult because Georgia is last in the country when it comes to vaccine rollout. So they've opened it up to more people and have yet made it infinitely harder to get. So it's sort of like trying to find Beyonce tickets, I would suppose. It's just...
right.
Not that easy, so I'm...
I mean, yeah, because at least you could hang out outside the venue and just overpay to get in the show.
Right. And I mean,
it's not like that with a vaccine.
Look, I mean, I would imagine people are probably doing the same for vaccines. They're just hanging around like, you know, you got any vaccines
left? Two for 20, two for 20 vaccines.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, you got another shot left in that bottle, you know?
Right.
Which I've heard some people actually are doing. And then, of course, there's a number of people that are just like, yes, I have comorbidities and I'm older and I, too, will get the vaccine. And,
right,
you know, so just trying to find it is tough.
I know people who just got it within the past week, just waiting around for leftovers.
Or calling, doing the random, you know, pharmacy phone book sweep and just being like, hey, got any? Yeah. But yeah,
I've got like five windows open. It's like Minority Report. I'm like, let's see, CVS. What we got here? Walgreens, you got something?
Using gestures and shit, right?
Yeah.
Expand this one. Map, enhance. Yes.
Yeah, there's a real like kind of head fake they do because you become qualifying for the vaccine. And then it's still just like you just enter a new realm of Dante's circles of hell where it's just like now you have to figure out how to navigate this labyrinth.
Right. Yep. I wonder when, I mean, I'm still waiting for LA to expand, but it's going to take some time because there's a lot more people here. But I think like every state, it seems like there are, if you are unsavory or let's say you lack some moral scruples, you're an unscrupulous character, mm-hmm. that there are ways to get that. And for those people who are acknowledging the disparities that exist and the inequity in the country, you're like, that's not time for me right now. No. But yeah, it sucks to hear that no matter what, it's for the people that need it, it's still very much like a wait and see type thing.
Yeah. Well, didn't Biden have the recent sort of talk where he mentioned that he would try to make sure that every adult would at least have a vaccine by the beginning of May or something like that?
Yeah, that it would be the doses would be like available.
There'd be enough.
But then it's the rollout, you know? We'll see, Ludacris, how you roll that out.
Gotta get those in arms.
Yep.
Yeah. Because like his whole thing is like 100 million shots and 100 million checks like in pockets. but, you know, unless you're over that $80,000 cliff, and then we can talk about how many checks that might actually be compared to Trump. But, you know, let's move on.
Yeah, we talked yesterday about how Israel has had some success with their 50% of their population has it, and mentioned a couple of the things that they have going for them, such as universal healthcare.
Yeah,
and this green pass thing that basically makes it so you can do stuff once you get the vaccine. So people are extra motivated. But something we didn't mention that is also a mitigating factor is that Netanyahu is possibly going to jail. And the only way that he's staying out of jail is by like staying in his voters' good graces. So I think that might be something we want to kind of investigate is like governors go to prison.
Is this Netanyahu guy above board?
Yeah, totally.
Hey, I'm hearing here on the Daily Zeitgeist. You know, as a guy, I'm from Philly. You know, I don't want like you casting aspersions on my character. And yeah, maybe I'm trying to get the vaccine out to avoid the clink, but hey, is what it is.
Let's threaten all politicians who are in charge of life and death things with prison. See how much quicker we get those vaccines. They'll be knocking on our doors.
Yeah, because apparently re-election isn't enough. So
yeah,
how do we raise this?
Well, they got that locked down. They got that system is fixed. Maurice, what is something you think is overrated?
Oh my God, the Coming to America sequel.
Oh, is it bad?
It's so bad. And the thing about it is that it didn't have to be bad.
Right.
I think, you know, of course, there's all this stuff about reboots and people want to bring back these sort of, you know, very popular franchises from before. And the movie does some things around. Well, let me be completely honest. They do a lot of shit around the old movie. It's almost like they had an intern write down every catchphrase that has caught on from that movie in the past 30 years. And just like threw darts at a board to figure out where it could go into the movie.
Off the top of my mind, do we get a in the face?
Something like that.
Is
that
there sexual chocolate?
Yes, sexual chocolate is there.
Is there that boy good?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Oh no, I'm just thinking. Yeah, so quite literally.
Is there a yes, fuck you too?
I mean, I think the I fact that a large part of the premise is based on date rape, rather casually so, I should mention.
What?
Is a harbinger for just how off-tone the rest of the movie kind of is. It's star-studded cast, don't get me wrong. Right. Wesley Snipes, Tiana Taylor, Eddie Murphy. I mean, yeah, great cast.
Yeah.
Horrible plot. Kenya Burris wrote it, so it's coming to America-ish.
Right. That's funny. Part of me like was really, I knew it came out, but part of me was like, I don't want to watch it and it not hit the same and me just ruin my weekend.
It's not going to hit the same. I don't care how many edibles you take, how many joints you smoke. It's not going to hit the same.
Because the first one
I say that from personal experience, but it's just not going to hit the same.
There are laughs though. I've heard there are laughs. Like there's.
I mean, it's a comedy, so yeah. Ostensibly there are laughs.
Yeah.
But actually,
Is this okay? But is
don't get me wrong. There's some people that saw it that loved it. I mean, if you can suspend disbelief and plot holes and flimsy characterization, it's probably a very funny movie. I'm not saying you have to go into it like thinking about it, but it's also just not that good.
Right.
I mean, the original was an R. This is a PG-13, so that kind of gives you a bit of a sense of how toned down some things are. It's just not that good.
Right. The original. I mean, I saw like a clip. Yeah, I saw a clip that they put on social of like the barber shop and seeing all those characters come back. And my first thought was like, "Yo,
why are they alive?"
Yeah. Exactly. First of all, they're still alive, and also they didn't age because with their old makeup. But then you look at you look like fucking Semi and Akeem, and you're like, "Yo, these motherfuckers got old."
Right.
But the dudes in the barber shop,
and the barbers are the same age. They're still at the same shop, like. Gentrification hasn't wiped all of that out. It's ridiculous.
Right. Where he's like, I'm gonna sell my brownstone for $10 million. And I was like, okay, I get it. We got some gentrification humor in there, but
it's not good.
Is Kenya Barris from New York? Because it's a very New York movie.
I don't know.
The first one at least. It was like a very
He's from LA, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
But they bring back pretty much every character except for Lisa's sister and Samuel L. Jackson. Other than that, I think every other character from the movie is probably in there. I don't think the deadbeat landlord is in. No, he's not in it. But
is Eric LaSalle in it?
No, Eric LaSalle is not in it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And he made some interview about why he was not going to be a part of it or whatever, but it's probably for the best given how bad the movie is.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Daryl was like, you know, the iconic bad guy, you know, with his soul glow and his getting his Jerry Curl juice all over the fucking couch.
Yeah.
Man.
Those kinds of jokes do not exist in this movie.
Right, because those are like super on point so you're saying it kind of just got overly broad or something? Like it just
They introduced a lot of new characters. There is a lot of it was filmed, I think, in Rick Ross's mansion.
What the fuck?
It's
Wait, is that like a joke? Or are you saying literally?
No,
in
it's
Rick
not a
Ross's
joke. It's
mansion?
Not a joke. It's like the literal musician rapper Rick Ross in his mansion, like,
because of like COVID things.
No, this movie was supposed to come out in 2019. They've sat on it for like a whole year.
Wow.
Okay.
Man, that is a real bummer to me that Frankie Faison doesn't come back as the deadbeat landlord, because like people who really like Coming to America, like those are some of some of my favorite lines.
Right.
Like, where he's like, yeah, it's a real shithole. You're going to love it.
and the reason I'm saying it's overrated, because like I see a lot of promotion around it. I'm seeing a lot of interviews around it. I'm not seeing a lot of good. I mean, people on Twitter are like, oh, this is hilarious. It's not a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everything, when you even just search review, like it's universally, it's like either tepid or they're slamming it. So
yeah, lots of musical performances for some reason, which are not really, I mean, there are musical performances in the first movie, of course, you know, She's Your Queen to Be, all that, you know, Soul Glow theme, of course, but like Gladys Knight does a rendition of Midnight Train to Zamunda that's like why?
No, we don't need to do that.
God damn,
okay.
There are details.
The description fucked me up, Maurice.
That's the second detail in a row that I'm like, why is he making shit up?
No, Maurice, stop smearing this with this slander. This is all made up. This is just
And the thing is, like the of course, like the Queen to Be song that I think like the Chancellor or one of the consorts sing is in the credits. It's not even in the actual movie, it's in the credits. sung by John Legend pretty well, but it's in the credits.
Yeah.
It's just not.
I think it's one of the things, too. Like, are we, like, because we're so close to the original thing, too, where do you think it will invite a new audience? Because I know it's, I feel like it sounds like how I would feel like when the Star Wars prequels came. I'm like, they didn't need to fuck with it like that. They has something going. But I don't know.
I just think the comedy was perhaps edgier.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true of a lot of comedy. Like, when you go back and watch some of the, like, True Lies is one that, like, when you go back and watch that, like, there's no way they have that Bill Paxton character saying ass like a 10-year-old boy, like, in a modern movie. And,
yeah.
Like, the vet gets him wet.
Yeah,
like,
it's the 90s, man, because it was basically, we turned up the 80s even hotter, but, like, did it with some, like, nice sheen and CG effects, basically.
Yeah, it felt like there was more sort of picking at Black culture, I think, a little bit, because the dichotomy that's set up in Coming to America is like rich, affluent Africans meet regular people from New York.
Right.
And coming to America, that's another reason why it's bad.
Yeah.
Sort of does this like weird Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court kind of thing with Akeem's bastard son. I mean, I'm ruining the plot a little bit, but like, it's not good. It's just not good.
Shit. What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated? I mean, I would say right now I am really enjoying the current season of Queen Sugar. It's in season 5 on the OWN network. Really good show that I don't think a lot of people know about, one, because it is on this sort of fringe cable channel, but created and executive produced by Ava DuVernay. Oprah Winfrey's also an executive producer. It's just a really, really good dramatic series. It follows this generations of this family on the sugarcane farm in Louisiana, and season 5 right now they're sort of going through the COVID storyline, but it's not like how you've seen the sort of Hollywood squaresification of other shows and movies when it comes to depicting time during COVID. They do it in a much, it's so good. They do it in a really realistic and honest way. It's heartfelt. It's just really, really good. And I know a lot of people probably aren't checking it out because I'm not sure what other streaming services it might be on. Like, it might be on,
I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's probably on Hulu. So if people want to check it out from the first season, certainly do so, because they do carry over some things from season to season. But I say it's underrated because it rarely gets reviewed. You certainly don't hear about it in like Emmy nomination runs or something like that, but it's a really good show.
That feels like one that if it came out on Netflix, it would like blow up.
Absolutely.
Because you're captive and people just immediately go, Netflix, yep, okay. Yeah.
Actually, somewhat related to that, another show that was on Netflix that was on OWN, that is on Netflix now, Greenleaf, really good show. It follows like a Black megachurch family, so that probably will turn some people off just off of that concept.
Right.
But how many seasons? 5 seasons. Really great show. Really great show. Lynn Whitfield, Keith David. It's so good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, shit, the Righteous Gemstones, we always talk about that show on this podcast. So,
yeah, if you've been to a church, like, I'm always interested to see dramatized church narratives, because I've seen it from nearly every angle at this point, but, like, I mean, in real life, but to see the scripted versions, that is always intrigues me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and it's good without being, like, super churchy, you know? Like,
right. Is Keith David, what's his character like?
He's the pastor. He's, like, the Pastor Greenleaf. He's the...
But
the patriarch of the family.
Like, what's his? Is he a man of honor? Is he kind of fucked up?
Yeah, kind of man of honor. Lynn Whitfield plays his wife. So if you've seen A Thin Line Between Love and Hate from the 90s, just imagine that turned up to like 20.
Woo!
You know, like Lynn is like the sultry but shady matriarch of the family.
Okay.
Mae Greenleaf.
So she's the one who's...
Well, she's got her secrets. And then Keith David, like, the pastor has his secrets. And then there's their children. Each of their children have secrets. It's really good.
Secret fest. Okay, I like
that.
Rick Fox.
Rick Fox is in it, too. Yeah.
Rick Fox?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. always like a Rick Fox cameo or appearance. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk news.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate. Whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier, Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. And get ready for a blast from the past, guys. Remember that fun period where Brett Kavanaugh was being his confirmation was being challenged.
Yeah.
And just we all went through it for like a week and a half.
Month. It's hard to know because this was like 2018.
It's Dr. Like so. Christine Blasey Ford's life has been going through it ever since.
Yeah.
But so one of the things that I think we were all suspicious of at the time was that they unleashed this FBI investigation into her allegations.
Right.
And they were just like, all good. Let's move it forward. Nothing to see here.
And you're like, what? But there's like 900 classmates signed to a letter being like, oh, this dude's trash.
Yeah. Right.
Like, and your FBI, but y'all are really good at framing people of color who just want equity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me just go down here. Well, so Sheldon Whitehouse is a senator on the Judiciary Committee. He wrote this letter that is essentially saying, yo, that fucking investigation was fake. He says fake. He says, quote, the investigation, quote, appears to have been a politically constrained and perhaps fake process. In the letter, he says, quote, in this matter, the shutters were closed, the bridge drawn up, and there was no point of entry by which members of the public or Congress could provide information to the FBI. He alleged that the agency refused to hear testimony from witnesses, ignored members who inquired on behalf of witnesses, and criticized the agency's use of, quote, a tip line that was meant to accept allegations. This tip line, quote, appears to have operated more like a garbage chute, with everything that came down the chute consigned without review to the figurative dumpster. So he will now be asking AG Merrick Garland, who famously got his Supreme Court robe just tossed in the fucking trash, to look into how this unfolded. But yeah, I mean, the whole confirmation hearing was just fucked up, gross, and traumatic, and just nobody wanted anything to do with it. Dianne Feinstein, it was like the beginnings of us seeing, like, what is she doing up there? Yeah. Does she know what she's doing? So
she knows exactly what she's doing.
Yeah, but to hear this now, it's like, okay, yeah. I think this is going to be like a thing that we'll always, every month we're going to hear, like, remember that thing from the four years of bullshit?
Yeah.
That was also trash.
It's going to be more stuff that has come out from the past administration that were like, remember when they said that? Yeah, that didn't happen. Or no, that's fake. Or,
yeah,
you know, actually, we didn't have a plan. It was all blank paper in those binders, you know.
Go to Staples, get a bunch of sheafs of just blank
just
paper.
Just stack them.
Stack it up.
And kind of crumple up the top pages. So
you know,
it looks
I love
a little
stacking
bit
paper. I feel like they might have gotten away with this because there was still the Mueller investigation going on and people, like, in the mainstream press still wanted to, like, believe that the FBI was their buddy. And so, I don't know, like that. I think that people were just, like, kind of put in a weird position who were still counting on the Mueller investigation and the FBI to be, like, the resistance.
Right.
And that was probably definitely misplaced.
The other things with Kavanaugh was, remember all those fucking Washington Senators baseball tickets and shit? And they were like, who paid for those?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, somebody paid. Like, what? FBI, go on now. Fucking dig up the receipts. And also even like people were, you know, casting doubts over even when Justice Kennedy announced his retirement, like what was going on there. This seemed like, you know, there's just a lot of I remember the second my phone lit up and said Justice Kennedy announced his retirement, I was in Denmark and I was just like, my day is. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. What are things looking like in terms of the Supreme Court at the moment? Like, there's justices who were looking to step down fairly soon, right? Because of their old age, and we need to get some new blood on the court.
Who's next to step down? Is it Thomas?
Well, Thomas would be ideal, but I doubt that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
he'll
give a conservative seat up.
Right.
I don't think there's a single conservative that would do it.
Although, like, word was Thomas was thinking about stepping down before, but I don't think
it's the least he could do.
Right. Like, literally the very, very
literally the least does it fuck off from the Supreme Court.
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about the Derek Chauvin trial. His attorneys want a change of venue since the city settled with George Floyd's family.
Yeah.
They're saying that this is like a sign that the city has already like made up its mind. Basically.
I mean, essentially, like, well, how can I get a fair trial when the city council has already blah, blah, blah? Like, because I think the city council was able to acknowledge how horrific that video was and was like, yeah, that's sorry that the police of this city took your family member's life.
Right.
Legally, that will be sorted in this trial. But yeah, he thinks his lawyers think it's just going to be harder for my client to get away with murder, guys, if he's in the same city.
What does the change of venue even really solve? I mean, if the case will still go on, right?
Because it's in the city that had a settlement, therefore, like the news, it's really kind of an odd argument. Yeah. And, you know, the prosecution was like, okay, like I kind of get what you're saying, but that's really not a reason to stop everything because they wanted to pause proceedings and a venue change. And one of the prosecutors said, Schleicher, he said, quote, all I can say to the court is that there are some things the state of Minnesota and this prosecution team can control, and there are some things it cannot control. We cannot control the civil aspect of the case. We cannot cannot and do not control the Minneapolis City Council, and we certainly cannot and do not control the news cycle. And so the judge was like, okay, well, I mean, that's your point about like the settlement maybe messing things up is legitimate, But they kept on with their jury selection, and he said he'll consider the venue change. But
if they change venues, like, would that change the jury? Would they have to then, like, select a new jury from the population of wherever they change it to?
I'd imagine if it's being impaneled in the county, you know what I mean? Like, that they would want it in a different county, therefore different people, you know, because that's the whole idea is, like, well, in that area where the murder happened, people are too aware of the case to be... So you want people who are ignorant to...
Right.
It's just so fucked up. And, like, even when we were talking about the surveys potential jurors had to fill out, you're like, this is... Here this shit goes.
I mean, it still all feels very, like, suspect in a way. I mean, like, oh, you say, sure. If they're changing the venue to try to, you know, appeal to a populace that may not know that much about the case, it almost feels like they know what the outcome will be, not just the outcome of the case, but... that there will be subsequent protests. And so maybe if they move it out of the city, then people won't protest in the city. They'll protest somewhere. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you saw that.
That's not going to happen.
It'll be everywhere.
Yeah, it all feels just, I don't know. It's a distraction. I think that's what it is. So we'll see sort of what happens. But it doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel right.
No, nothing ever feels right when, I mean, especially when, as it relates to over policing and the, you know, murders of unarmed Black people by police. But when you start looking at something like this, that was just so abundantly clear. Like, you don't, that's what makes it so offensive. Like, it was unfortunate that graphic video was a thing that a large number of people in the country had to see to fucking figure shit out suddenly. Mm-hmm. And that still with that, knowing all of that, this idea that's like, well, you know, we don't want people that are going to, you know, understand what justice is as it relates to policing, because that's like a dimension of the case we're trying to remove and just be like, yo, is his knee evil? Like, I don't know what the argument's going to be. Yeah. And that's what's so fucked up is that to everybody it's so clear, but there are all these ways to try and, you know, skirt justice. And that's the theme of this nation at the moment.
Like, who doesn't already have their mind made up on this? If you don't already have your mind made up from watching the video, which everybody has seen, then you are by definition biased against justice. Like, it's impossible for somebody to watch somebody commit murder on video, like, from beginning to end and not feel outraged. So,
I mean, Your Honor, how can we have a fair trial if a majority, if not 10 out of the 12 jurors, are sympathetic towards racially motivated police violence? Right. I mean, honestly, Your Honor.
Right.
Yeah, we can't. This is not going to be fair. We need people who are firmly on the side of white supremacy to adjudicate this case. Therefore, we can let it rock, you know, for centuries.
I don't know. It worries me that the prosecutor is even giving this ground, is even ceding I can't control the city council. Like, I don't know. It feels like he should just be saying, yeah, well, the city council is doing that because it's obvious and an open and shut case, and, like, it's impossible not to come to this conclusion.
Yeah, well, that's turnip court, Jack, where the lawyers talk like that. No, fuck that, Your Honor. Right. Everybody saw that video. It's like, well, hold on, this isn't the time to do that.
Yeah, I'd be a bad lawyer. Let's talk about Tucker Carlson.
Do we have to?
Outed white supremacist.
Recently outed, yeah.
Yeah.
Color me shocked. to anyone who's never seen anything he said his whole career.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just on one. He was bashing women in the military and then got verbally stomped out by the military. And Ted Cruz was like, don't treat him like that. Like, it was just another sad back and forth. But this time he's just really, he's pretending that he's not horny as fuck for the WAP video. and he's just going full throttle on this one now. And I'm not sure why this is, like, you know, the cancel culture thing is back up again, probably because, you know, it's hard to poke holes in maybe some of the policy things Biden's doing, considering, like, how it's polling even with Republicans, like the relief measures and things like that. Or maybe it's because you don't want to talk about Trump's case in Georgia kind of getting more severe by the day, or Trump's, you know, CFO's ex-daughter-in-law is apparently cooperating with prosecutors in New York. But, I mean, there's many things. I don't know. But the whole thing here is, rather than pointing to, like, you know, racism and greed from a runaway capitalist system and what that's done to the country, they've chosen to point to Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion as indicators of societal collapse, y'all. And who better than Candace Owens to come on, because that's how Tucker Carlson, see, he wised up. He's like, see, I can't have white people attacking black women, but I can have my black woman attack these other black women to avoid any accusations of impropriety. So he had her on, and she starts off her whole sermon with just a cancel culture in memoriam.
And the host of Candace, she joins us. Candace Owens, thanks so much for coming on. It's hard not to conclude they're intentionally trying to degrade our culture and hurt our children.
That's a strong setup.
It's real strong.
Okay.
Wow.
Please go on, Candace. Professor Owens, rather.
I mean, absolutely, Tucker. I mean, Dr. Seuss, gone. Mr. Potato Head, problematic, not enough genders available. We've seen going through the supermarket as a traumatizing experience. We lost Aunt Jemima last year. We lost Land O'Lakes Butter last year. We lost Uncle Ben and his rice last year, because everything is so traumatizing for children to look at. But this spectacle, virtually what we were looking at last night was a lesbian sex scene being simulated on television. And this is considered feminist.
So that's good momentum. I mean, pour one out for all the racist caricatures, y'all. Like, meanwhile, when the thing is, as she's talking, they're looping the same thing over and over again of them. Right. Like when it looked like they were scissoring and stuff on stage, that's like the clip they have just on loop on the side, where it's like, is it that it's that offensive that you have it on loop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Potatoes don't even have a gender. What the fuck is she talking about?
Right.
I mean, I know the whole Mr. Potato Head toy, but like, there was a lot of heavy lifting that she did trying to link those things together.
It just sounds hard when you said, like, there's no way you can say, we lost Aunt Jemima last year. You know, we lost Uncle Ben last year. What the? That sounds like a Chappelle Show sketch, like a line from a Chappelle Show sketch.
That would not be like a Chappelle Show sketch.
Yeah, exactly. Like racist caricature, you know, fucking funerals. Graveyard.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Uncle Ben, man, it's been a minute. I thought you'd be here way sooner. They're like, no, there's still some bullshit down there. So then Candace Owens, I just want to go on this other thing about how this is pointing to, you know, the end of America.
Academics anymore in school, right? Forget about mathematics and science. You can trust the science and trust Dr. Fauci, but you have these kids learning about critical race theory. You know, they're learning that they should aspire to people like Cardi B. That you see that fundamentally we are seeing the destruction of American values, American principles, and it's terrifying. I think parents should be terrified that this is the direction that our society is heading towards. And again, we are weakening America. That's really what we should be talking about. This is a weakening of American society. We are setting the stage, and it feels like we are looking at corrosion, like we are about to see the end of an empire.
That's true, but not for any of the reasons you just said. It has nothing to do with these two queens doing their fucking thing on stage and just putting on a great show. That's not what the corrosion is. You are the corrosion. The show you are on is the fucking corrosion. The greed that this country just accepts without really questioning and wanting better outcomes for each other and our communities, that's the fall of the empire. Not these people, but, you know, but do go on, Professor Owens.
Yeah, it's also just interesting that this starts from a assumption that we are a monoculture where everybody is watching the same things, and not like that they went and got that to put it in front of their viewers who they know did not watch the WAP like performance from the Grammys.
They did. They're all lying. It's the same shit. There was some state legislator in Texas or something who voted on an anti-trans bill for like kids to compete, and then they caught him looking at transgender porn on his computer.
Yeah,
like, there's a duplicity. But that's just what all this two-faced shit is, you know, all the time. Right. It's just disgusting when it's like that's flimsy as fuck. You know, you're smart enough but this is the pattern you're caught up in with your audience of just being like, parents should be alarmed.
Right. Yeah.
When has that line worked?
Right.
Like on the news last. Parents need to be prepared for this. What's happening now?
I mean, only on Fox, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only on some Fox show or InfoWars or some shit like that.
Right.
Part of me hopes they keep going down this path, because I don't think people, like, I think people are smart enough to realize that this is bullshit. And like, at least when it comes to voting, will not vote for like anti-canceling Dr. Seuss agenda.
Yeah.
Hey, just wait till those midterms. I'm sure we'll see some weird ads like, I went to bat for Aunt Jemima. I went to bat for Uncle Ben. I went to fucking bat for Dr. Seuss. What? They're like, yo, the unemployment rate is out of fucking control in your district.
Did you guys watch the John Oliver thing on Tucker Carlson being a white supremacist?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was good. They definitely like dug up some old clips that I had not seen before. One thing that I was waiting for them to bring up that we had covered before, but just
on this show,
on this show,
it's not on HBO, but you know,
yeah. Somebody needs to recommend that John Oliver listen to The Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah, exactly. We cover hey,
Dan O'Brien, yeah. hook him up with a free episode.
No, but the story about Blake Neff, who was his head writer, I think is just, I mean, they do a good enough job of just showing like how he will say something and then it will trickle down to like openly white supremacist groups, and like David Duke will just. David Duke's podcast is just recaps of Tucker Carlson and talking about like how good Tucker Carlson is at putting their hateful beliefs into non-offensive language or language that's
deracialized,
not gonna offend,
racism, deracialized. Yeah,
exactly. But this, I don't know. They found that his head writer of the past 4 to 5 years, had like they just found him posting anonymously on this racist forum, and it's just, I don't know, it's like the smokingest gun like I've ever seen, where this person was posting things that you would then see in the Tucker Carlson show, like there was bleed between like the things he was posting, but he was posting it in threads that had, you know, just like straight up racist, like wild shit like written in the title of the thread. CNN outed the author as they were like, hey, this you to Fox News, and asked him for his comment on a Thursday night. And Fox News announced his resignation Friday morning. So like they know.
Right. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know exactly what they're doing. They know that they got caught. And he also like basically engineered harassment campaigns against women who he was friends with on Facebook, who he was mad at for writing about their love lives, and one for freezing her eggs, just committing the sin of, exercising reproductive autonomy. I don't know. It's yet another example of like, this dude's a racist. The people who write what he says on his, like the guy Blake Neff was like interviewed for Dartmouth. Shout out to Dartmouth, great alumni. You've produced there, but in the Dartmouth alumni review, he was like, anything that Tucker reads off of the teleprompter came from a first draft that I wrote, and this dude is a straight up avowed white supremacist, racist, misogynist.
That's what's so even wild about like the news of like the headlines where they're like John Oliver like outs Tucker Carlson as white supremacist. And it's and I get that like the function of that is great because it's a very easy to follow main story that inspires critical thought and analysis. Mm-hmm. And it does put it out there for people. What scares me is that like many people before this have always been like, this is so fucked up and bad. Yet we're still at that point where you can look a white supremacist Nazi in their eye on the TV screen, but networks still can't get shit to move. There's still no way to figure this out. And I think the closest thing has been this campaign to defox your cable and trying to pressure the cable networks or the cable providers to not, you know, subsidize, because we all pay like a Fox News tax, essentially, if you subscribe to any kind of cable network. Yeah.
Cancel Fox.
More than that, this guy Neff was also, he was also supporting like war game exercises at the Marine Corps War College. So he's also with these crazy white supremacist views influencing future military members through war gaming exercises. He had been a war gaming subject matter expert since 2016 for the college. Mm-hmm. And it was only after all this came out and he, ended up leaving Tucker Carlson's show that the Marines were like, you know what? we're cutting ties with this guy. Like, oh, now you want to cut ties with him.
Yeah. Well, that's our policy. Once you're sloppy with it and with your racism, then we got to cut ties. If you can keep it low, then you can stay.
The studies of like the just amount of open white supremacists in the military.
Even
and
the
police,
Capitol.
But,
do you see the Capitol Police thing recently? The Capitol Police officers had a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion out in the open.
Oh, come Jesus. On, man. I mean, that's just a good read.
Open. This is Russian manufactured anti-Semitic conspiratorial material that's like the foundation of so much of modern anti-Semitism. There's a Capitol Police officer with that shit out on the desk that a congressional staffer saw it and was like, what the fuck is this? The people that are secure. Well, I mean, we knew that too. The people that are securing this building are also in on it. Okay.
They were taking fucking selfies with the guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's just that out in the open, you know, where like people are having to see that. And that sucks for people like to already work in that place, to be there on the 6th. And then be like, oh, like, and the staffer was Jewish. She was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'm supposed to trust these people?
Right. Also, Blake Neff, just, I found it noteworthy that this dude's like, he graduated college in like 2013. He like had all this success in his 20s. So just anybody who, like, they are just dying for any like writing talent who will, who also is a Nazi. Like they are so hungry for that. So anybody who's like, who doesn't believe that that's like the easy way that people go in entertainment, like that's, you just Google a picture of this dude. It's pretty amazing. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And really quickly, there is a new anti-masker talking point I wanted to hit real quick. They're basically saying, well, look, Florida basically had like the same spread rate as California. Again, Florida had 11% higher death rate per capita. But they are bragging about that because Florida did not shut down as much. They I think their unemployment went up like 5 percentage points and California's went up 9. So they're like, haha, we still have our lives. You guys, you know, they're basically making the point.
Metric.
Yeah. Like even some scientists are like, so California's like system wasn't necessarily clearly the winner here. But other scientists are saying that you have to like take into account a couple mitigating factors. California population centers are much denser, has more high occupation homes than Florida. The like we mentioned up top, the humidity of the air. I feel like we're like we talked about a graph that showed that like temperature is like directly related to how fast the disease spreads. And another thing that it like the hotter and wetter the environment is, the less it spreads. Mm. So that obviously makes Florida a better place for just COVID statistics in general. They point out that Arizona is more similar to California, both in terms of demographics and climate. And they had Florida-like restrictions, like much looser restrictions, and they had the fifth highest death rate in the country. Right. So I don't know, just like anything where people are like acting like, well, the precautions that scientifically must have helped don't actually help. I think you have to take with a grain of salt and wait for people to learn more.
Look, the second somebody with no mask on is trying to tell me about mask anything, I'm like, are you a fucking epidemiologist?
Right.
Then shut the fuck up.
Especially a year into this. I don't know if you all saw this. This was a video where this guy was with his kids at Trader Joe's, and he basically like strong arms his way into the store, speaking some mix of English and French, talking about why, you know, you guys are still acting like this. I'm here with my children, les enfants, in the store, and I can't believe that you all really believe all of this about COVID. We have been a year into this whole Panda Express, right? Like, why are people still acting like this around masks? It's ridiculous. I remember last year it being sort of a talking point around temperature and the coronavirus. Like, yeah, saying like some things would, about, yeah. Right. Like, yeah. I distinctly remember Trump saying it about, oh, well, you know, it's going to get warmer and so it won't move as fast because it'll be the summer. Clearly, that was not the case.
Yeah. No, it definitely, it has an impact, but it doesn't have such an impact that you can do all the wrong things just expect it to go away like he did.
Well, that's a negative frame of mind, Jack.
Right.
We're never going to get out of the pandemic with that kind of thinking.
Yeah. I mean, my theory has always been that it's all fear-based and coronavirus comes from fear. And
it's an exercise in confidence, y'all. God.
And that's why Trump almost died despite being the most irrationally
They don't really human. That kind of went out like a slight dribble. They're like, yo, he almost died when he had COVID. People don't, like, but okay. And then did he deny he got the vaccine when he got the vaccine?
Yep.
Or was talking shit. Yeah. So you know what? This is, whatever.
Man. But whatever, like, infusion of teenager's blood that they gave him to just get him right back after he was like on death.
Adrenochrome.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if we're keeping with the pattern of everything they accuse the other side of they're actually doing, then yeah, adrenochrome, the Q conspiracy that all Hollywood elites are just like vampires milking like young people for their adrenochrome. Like, I guess we got to look into that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about motherly love, you guys. There's a couple doting mother updates that we wanted to check in on.
These are such 2021 mom drama kind of things, but they're so amazing because, like, as both of these stories we're going to go through, they make me realize how old I am, too, and, like, what I thought was a scam and what wasn't. So we'll go from severe to more severe. The first one is a mother and daughter duo in Florida. They were arrested for fraudulently accessing confidential student information. So you say, what's that? Okay, so this Tate High School, there were 2,000 students. And on the October 28 of last year, they were told, hey, go to this program, Election Runner, and you can go cast your vote for the students that you want to be like in the homecoming court. And this is like what you need to do to vote was put their school ID numbers and their birthday. this woman's daughter was crowned queen on October 31st. You know, beautiful homecoming ceremony. She had the roses and everything. But then a few days later, the program election runner hit the school up and said, there were dozens of votes that have been flagged as fraudulent. Approximately 117 votes originated from the same internet protocol or IP address within a short period of time.
Huh.
Then there was an investigation. Ooh. The feds or the, what is it, the Federal Bureau of Law Enforcement or whatever they call it, the FDLE or something, they looked into it. They found that it was all coming from this mom's cell phone and computer. And they said, what the fuck is going on? So it turns out.
She didn't even use a VPN?
No. We advertise on here. You could get it Norton or Express, however you want it, baby. But you can protect your ass when you're trying to ride or die for your daughter. And this whole thing is wild because the mother was a faculty member, like within the school district. So she had access to this larger program, like this organizational informational infrastructure program that you could summon up these records, grades, medical records, fuck around with the fucking votes and shit. And this is the other thing is, too, they said around the same time of the investigation, quote, the school student council coordinator learned that the student was telling people she, quote, utilized her mother's account to cast votes. She was sloppy with it.
Very sloppy.
Oh, my God.
Very sloppy. I mean, the whole thing about multiple voting from one device is like some American Idol type of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's so ridiculous.
I mean, it's some Michael Cohen type of shit. He got caught voting for himself as like, what was it? It was like some like handsomeness poll or something.
No, I think he had his own Twitter account where he was like, yo, how hot is Michael Cohen, y'all? Or something like that. And it's like, you're making your own.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he was caught. Yeah. He was caught juicing the vote for himself.
But this shit apparently has happened before. Like in this Washington Post article, they say in 2017, faculty member at a Southern California high school resigned after allegedly rigging student government contests. In 2019, a high schooler running for class president in Berkeley hacked into the more than 500 email accounts to cast hundreds of votes for himself. I mean, this is like 21st century shit. Like, I remember when marking your Scantron answer sheet as the answer key was right. The most high-stakes scam you could pull, like, academically. They're like, yo, I'm going for it. When they run my shit, they're going to say, that's the answer key, and I'm going to get 100%.
When I was in college, we used to print barcodes on, like, plastic transparency tape and use that to, like, sneak into the calf. Like, that's the most high-tech kind of scam. I mean, this is some other shit. And, like, for me, this is interesting because, like, I ran an award show for several years from 2004 to 2011. So this kind of like multiple vote thing is one very easy to fix. Like it's almost a mandatory security protocol. So the fact that this, what's it called? Election runner.
Right.
The fact that the software was so basic that they didn't catch that to me just feels sloppy on their end. But the fact that the mom's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep voting. And keep going to, like, I don't know. I could imagine her driving around town, connecting to different Wi-Fi spots,
not
voting.
Realizing
that. Okay, let's go to the Wendy's, you know, sit in the parking lot and do it, you know.
Yeah.
But she messed that up. But, yeah, so they both got arrested.
Is it a crime?
Yeah, I didn't think they would lock these people. But, yeah, the mom had to post bond. The daughter went to juvie.
Wow.
Damn. And it's because of, like, security, right? Like, they were accessing...
The charge was fraudulently accessing confidential student information. Like this thing that they were getting into that the faculty had access to, just it had oodles of sensitive information, like all that shit. So, yeah.
Also, the sheriff's daughter was the runner up. So that might have had something to do with it.
Gotta look into this.
Right. And then there's another one. This mom, which this is dark. But it was also kind of a matter of time.
This is more advanced.
In regards to deep fakes. So Rafaela Spohn, who is 50, last year she decided to go on a digital harassment campaign of her daughter's cheerleading rivals. So it says the affidavit says Spohn last year created the doctored images of at least three members of the Victory Vipers, a traveling cheerleading squad. There was no indication that her high school age daughter, who is not publicly identified, knew that her mother was doing it, according to court records. So what they did was said after analyzing the videos, detectives determined they were, quote, deep fakes. created by mapping the girls' social media photos onto other images. So they were making them look like they were vaping or doing like wild shit like, you know, kids shouldn't be doing. Detectives traced the phone numbers to a website specializing in selling them to telemarketers and followed the data to an IP address that showed activity from within Spohn's house. And after searching her smartphone, they found the evidence linking her to the numbers used to send the harassing texts and images.
Wow.
This is wild because when we were first hearing about deepfakes hitting the mainstream, like around 2017, we were like, this is going to get fucking bad. Like, yeah, you can really upend people's reality. I mean, the Tom Cruise shit that went viral last week, that was slick. I mean, you have to, I mean, most people, if you really look, you're like, okay, I can see it's kind of off, but. Yeah. You got it. I mean, it's getting really. I've already put money down in Vegas that deepfakes will factor into the midterms. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. I believe that. I mean, I think it's really interesting the fact that the technology has progressed to the point that like a mom.
Right.
That's what I was
shout
about
out to moms
say.
By the way, not to disparage moms, but like this 50-year-old mom is like, I'm just gonna make some deepfakes.
Right.
Yeah.
So like the technology is that pedestrian
right.
that anyone clearly can utilize it.
Which is so fucked up. It's like, you know what? I'll tell you what, honey, the Vipers aren't going to win sweepstakes at the next competition if their best flyers aren't in the fucking game. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, also, what? Mom looks like the mugshot. Like she looks like she will fuck somebody up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She looks like a mom who just needs to pull up with her words. You know, I remember when the most a mom would do is like they were waiting for your ass after school to be like, can I talk to you really quick?
Yeah.
Like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, not deep fakes.
She's not wearing Morpheus glasses, so she's not a hacker or anything like that. No. She just looks like.
Although
she
her eyeliner is inspiring a Morpheus glass, to some level, and her criminally thin lips indicate someone who cannot be trusted. But yeah, it's just I don't know. You know, like where this ends. To your point, Maurice, if a mom can pick it up. We're seeing what Congress is beginning to look like by the hour.
Yeah,
right.
It's only a matter of time they come through with some sloppy, dumb shit, and it completely fucks up the perceived reality of the country, where people are firmly believing in a deep fake that may be verifiably fake, merely because it serves a purpose of like furthering a narrative that they need for their partisanship. So.
This is someone who doesn't know how IP addresses work, who is able to pull off a deep fake. Like that's unnerving.
A Republican.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Democrats are a little bit slicker when they're with their fuckery. And sometimes they're not. But I think at the end of the day, it's just down to, you know, if the means are there, then people are going to fucking do whatever they can. And in this case, like we're seeing two versions of like moms just really being like, I want the best for my daughter. And you know what? If Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky can fucking defraud an admissions process, who gives a fuck if I do some deep faking or vote fraud?
Right. And they're doing it for such mundane reasons. Like, I want my daughter to be homecoming queen. I want my daughter's cheerleading rivals to suffer. Like, it's not even for some big shit like lying to get into college. You know, it's for very mundane high school level type stakes that won't mean anything once you graduate.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Whew. Man, what's like the most your mom did for you that wasn't like that? Like, or a parent did for you, a loved one? Like, I don't know anybody. Like, I remember my mom yelled at another kid once, like, for just being shitty to me. I think that was like the most. But I think potentially my mom would deploy a deep fake in my honor.
I think my mom has probably cussed out a teacher or two.
Right.
Yeah.
If this were her now, do you think our moms would dabble in this kind of next level, you know?
No, my mom's a total Luddite. She wouldn't do it.
Oh, wow. So she's also, she'll pull up to the school.
Yeah, she'll pull up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's a better
We're from the country. She'll pull up.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She has time. She has time for that.
My mom was once implicated in a hitman hiring a hitman to take out one of my basketball rivals. Yeah,
this kid that pants me at a pool party in sixth grade. Yeah, he's missing still.
That's the old version of this. Like I guess that's probably better that they're doing these sloppy
psychological warfare
than actually trying to hire a hitman to take out the cheerleading rivals.
How long until we see the Sundance film version of these?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that is true that, like, Sundance is the new, like, the Sundance indie version is the new Lifetime version. It's like, yep. No, it's not Lifetime anymore. They're gonna art it up and make right. It, like, yeah. We'll go highbrow with our true crime. Maurice, it has been such a pleasure having you again, as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me online at mauricecherry.com, mauriceccherry, or you can follow me on Twitter at mauricecherry.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
So, yes, there is. And I don't know how I discovered this. I was probably high one day and was just browsing through Twitter, but there's this troupe of Brazilian street dancers known as Carete Furacao. And I've got a link to the tweet here, but it's these people that dance throughout the streets of like Sao Paulo and other parts of Brazil, and they're dressed as different cartoon characters like Kyle from South Park or Mickey Mouse or Mario or Goku. And one of the main characters is this like long haired, furry handed person called Fafau that has like these big, like pendulous, distended jaws and a pig snout. But they do all these acrobatics, like they're dancing in the street. Fafau does this like thing where it runs up a wall or something like that.
Whoa.
And the tweet that I have here is like, it's sort of like a fan cam video that I guess someone put together of a popular Brazilian song. And like, it has clips of them dancing throughout the streets. I have been obsessed with it ever since I've seen it.
Mm.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes.
Footnote.
So you can check that shit out. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. Also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. Or, you know, we're talking 90 Day, Married at First Sight, all that trash up in your veins. So come check that out. Tweet that I like. Let's see. This tweet is from Hybrid at Hybrid Original _. It said, "I'm not ugly, but if you see me on my mom's Facebook, then I don't know what to tell you." because, you know, parents will post some fucked up photos of you and you're like, what the fuck? Don't tag me in this shit. That's why I'm off Facebook, because I refuse to see those old photos. And that was just very relatable. And also Deb Holland, at Deb Holland NM. Thank you to the U.S. Senate for your confirmation vote today as Secretary of Interior. I look forward to collaborating with all of you. I am ready to serve. Hashtag be fierce. Great to see a Native American woman just running the interior now. God bless it. Let's keep going. Let's see the more and more improvement, please.
A tweet I enjoyed, a couple people, Abolish RPD, tweeted this at me, a couple other people did, at WeeWeeGoo tweeted, today I learned my 94-year-old grandma spent her year in isolation studying the NBA and filling a notepad with her favorite players on each team, and she's like, it's a photograph of her 94-year-old grandma showing off a legal pad with three teams written on it and their favorite players underneath. Toronto Raptors, no players, not a fan of any of them. Brooklyn Nets, she has two of the people you'd expect, Kevin Durant and James Harden. Philadelphia 76ers, Danny Green,
Lake Show,
number
baby.
14. What?
She also calls it Toronto Repton, I think. The way she's called Raptors, I was like, yeah, Toronto Repton, nobody, but Rep Danny Town. Green. Love it.
Yeah. Anyways, that's adorable. Awesome. Dave Horowitz tweeted, post COVID plan equals open a Family Guy themed shawarma place called Oh PETA. at Kay Wholesaler tweeted, every baby boomer knows someone who was in a car wreck and the doctor told them if they had been wearing a seatbelt, they would have been killed. So true.
Damn, that's so wow.
My dad loves talking about, and I found out if it had been a half an inch to the left, he would have been a goner.
Seatbelt would rip my head off.
Yeah, that's
right there. You'd have been pouring one out for me along with Uncle Ben and the Land O'Lakes lady.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We also post those in the show notes. And Miles, we like to also link off to a song that you recommend people go check out. What is today's recommendation?
This is a track from KRS. It's just not KRS-One. Just a producer named KRS with a period at the end.
Had the username first.
Yeah. Waiting in Vain is the name. Waiting in Vain Edit is the name of the track. And it's a very just... it's only on SoundCloud because this is like when you got to get in the indie producer vibe. But it's just Bob Marley. It's Bob Marley's Wait in Vain. But it's like... it's turned up like to be a little more modern and vibey. And if you smoke weed or you like to dance, if you have a toe that likes to jump up in your boot, you got honey in your hips, well, then you should put this on and do something. But this is Wait. But like, again, this is KRS with the Wait in Vain Edit. We got to find it on SoundCloud or the footnotes. Footnotes.
All right. We recommend you check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.